Now it's up to us to nurture that seed that has been planted within us. And as we nurture the seed that has been planted within us, we become mature believers.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of The Gifts of Discipleship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of The Gifts of Discipleship.
As we think about our theme for this morning, God has laid on my heart the gift of discipleship. Last week, we looked at the Apostle Paul, and we talked about a new life and a new birth. This week, we are talking about sprouting in the kingdom of God, the growing of discipleship. So we want to continue looking at the Apostle Paul, and I want to speak to you on this subject. Paul, and you'll understand it better as we go through the message, getting, growing, and giving. And that is our discipleship focus today. The birth of Christ brings about a new birth and a new life within a person's heart. This is a small beginning when Christ is birthed in the heart of an individual, but it has to start somewhere. Like the mustard seed that George and Taylor read about earlier, it is the smallest of all seeds. If you'll go to that next slide, please. You see here a mustard seed, which is that tall. I mean, that small. The mustard seed, Jesus says, if you'll look in Mark chapter 4, he says that this is the smallest of all seeds. Mark chapter 4 and verse 30. And he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less of all the seeds that are in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." That tiny mustard seed, someone has said that it takes 725 to 760 mustard seeds to weigh just a gram, which is 1/28 of an ounce. So you can see that Jesus was right on when he said that it's the smallest of all seeds. Yet and still, as that seed grows, it becomes a tree. If you'll go to that next slide. Out of that one little seed comes a mustard tree. And Jesus says that out of this tree, that it provides not only shade, but it's a place for the birds to come and rest. Wow. One little seed produces this tree. Just like that seed produces a tree. The Christian life is birthed in the heart like a mustard seed. And God's desire is for that seed to grow within you. And as that seed grows within you, you become a mature Christian. And as you become a mature Christian, God's desire is that you go out and pour this message into the lives of others. And that as you pour into the lives of others, the kingdom of God grows, increases, and becomes a mighty force. And it all started with Jesus said, if you have the faith like the grain of a what? Mustard seed. You can say unto this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will be cast, therefore. Tiny little seed produces this tree. In your heart, the gospel was birthed. Last week, we talked about new birth and new life. That God has given you the gift of new birth and new life during this Advent season. And we can relish in that. We can appreciate the fact that we have this new birth and new life. Now it's up to us to nurture that seed that has been planted within us. And as we nurture the seed that has been planted within us, we become mature believers. And as we become mature believers, we in turn impart that to others. And the kingdom of God spreads throughout the face of the earth. And it all started with that gospel seed that was in your heart. And Paul realized that. And Paul, he caught the vision. And he understood what it meant. When he saw that baby lying in the manger, as he looked back and he read about Jesus and he read about his life and he understood the gospel record, he understood what it meant. But today we have lost our focus on Christmas. We've lost it. We don't see what Paul saw. We don't see that baby that is lying in the manger as not only the Son of God, but God the Son. We have changed Christmas from a holy day to a holiday. We have shifted what it's supposed to be about. We had a gentleman named Al Reichman who came years ago when we were across the street. He was with Chosen People Ministries, a Messianic Jewish organization. And I remember he came and he was telling us that growing up as a Jewish individual that his family didn't celebrate Christmas. He said, but they had a store. And they would see all the Christians coming and no thought of Jesus and no thought of the baby who was coming to bring salvation, but he would see all these Christians coming in and out, buying gifts and accumulating and massing to give gifts. And he said that they would hear that cash register go, cha-ching, cha-ching. And the next morning, his family would get up, Christmas morning, and they would all sit around the breakfast table and sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Some of y'all get that a little bit later. That's how we have merchandised the holy day that has now become a holiday. We have made an essential into a non-essential, and we may have made a non-essential into an essential. We have taken the focus off of Christ. I shared with you last week, and I appreciate all the calls and emails of people letting me know where I can get a manger scene, a nativity scene. And the sad thing, you know, the sad thing is that still, you know, there's not hardly any in the stores. You know, I had a couple of people say, I went online and you can get it online. And then somebody said, well, I found one in the store, but you know, it's probably not what you want. And that just goes to show you that we have made an essential. The birth of Christ, we have made that a non-essential. That's like going to a football game and getting excited about the stadium and not being interested in the game at all. Wow, look at these seats. Wow, look at that field. Look at the press box. Look at all the different places we can go. And you spend the whole time looking at the stadium. and you never watch the game. Or it's like somebody coming to your house and you've worked hard to lay out this spread. You worked hard to plan and prepare this meal. And they come over your house and you lay out your fine china. And they, wow, that's some beautiful silverware that you have. Look at those mugs that you have, the goblets that you have. Look at the china that you've laid out. And they spend the whole time admiring the china and the silverware and the drinking utensils. But they don't eat the meal. That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we have done. We have focused on the non-essentials, and we have made that the essential. Paul got it. Paul got it. The sad thing about Americans is that we have lost what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. A television interviewing was walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time. And in Tokyo, in Japan, it's much like it is in America. It's a time of commercialization, and it's a time of shopping, and it's a time of going out and purchasing gifts. And the interviewer stopped one young woman who was on a sidewalk and asked her, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" And she responded kind of laughingly, "Well, I don't know. Is that the day that Jesus died?" And you know what? She wasn't far from wrong on that, was she? She really wasn't far from wrong. Is that the day that Jesus died? As we consider the Apostle Paul, the first thing that we need as Christians to look at is the gift of getting. That we have to get. Now, I'm not talking about getting things so that we can amass upon our own selfish desires, but we have to exercise the gift of getting. And what are two things that Paul got? The first thing that Paul got, he got a vision of the child. And the second thing Paul got, he got a vision of Christ. Yeah. He got a vision of the child, and then he got a vision of Christ. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Oh, it's mighty quiet up in here this morning. I think it might be because it's Communion Sunday, and we like to be more reflective on Communion Sunday, right? I heard one preacher say, if when people say amen, I preach faster. I knew I'd get something there. Here at Paul, he says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Paul got a vision of the child. As he reflected back on that baby in the manger, he said that when the fullness of time was come, that God sent his son. That he understood what it meant. He understood what the birth of Christ meant. And if we are going to give the gift of discipleship, that first of all, we have to get something. Yes. And the thing that we have to get is we have to get a vision of the child. Notice that it says in the fullness of time. I've exegeted that for you a little bit if you'll go to that next slide. What does the fullness of time mean? I think this is deep. The fullness of time. That this is that perfect time in God's eternal purpose of salvation when things were in place that would enhance the facilitation of introducing and spreading the gospel. That God looked down through all eternity and God said that this will be the perfect time for me to send my son. That I'm not going to send him in the days of Elijah, I'm not going to send him in the days of Abraham. I'm not going to send him in the days of the prophets, but in the fullness of time. At that right, precise moment, at that perfect moment, I'm going to send my son. Well, what was so perfect about that moment? There were three things that were perfect about that moment. That time, unlike any other, the Jewish people anticipated the coming of the Messiah. That you remember when Jesus showed up, what were people looking for? They were hungering and they were crying out for the Messiah. They were living under the hand of the Roman government. They were dealing with issues of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious groups. And they were looking for somebody to come and set them free from all this mess in the fullness of time. The second thing about this fullness of time is that Rome had unified much of the world at that time. Do you know that at this time, unlike any other, there were roads and travel routes and traveling systems that were in place that had never been in the history of mankind, so that Paul could journey from Jerusalem to Damascus on the King's Highway, or he could get on a boat and go to Crete or go to Rome or go to Spain. Unlike any other time, the traveling system, in the fullness of time, God sent his son. And this last one is really deep, that there was a language that was present at that time that was unknown up until that time and has not been duplicated after that time. And that language is called Koine Greek. And when Alexander the Great conquered the world, one of the things that he did, even though he died at a young age, one of the things that he did is that he affected the language of most of the then known world. And it was a language called Koine Greek. So that as Jesus Christ came, and as the scripture was written, and as records went out, that people used this common language, this Koine Greek, that was able to facilitate understanding, that was able to facilitate knowledge. So in the fullness of time, God sent his son. The Jewish people anticipated, the Romans had unified the kingdom, and Alexander had brought forth the language. So Paul says in the fullness of time that he got a vision of the child. You know, the average person, and hopefully you're not in this group this morning. We have some Bible scholars here, so I know that many of you that I'm getting ready to say this to, this not apply to you. But the average person, if you would go and ask them, when did Jesus come into existence? You know when they would tell you? They would tell you he came at Bethlehem. That's when Jesus came. That's when he showed up on the scene. And see, that's why I'm writing a book. And I'm almost finished with it. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Because if you think that Jesus showed up at Bethlehem, you don't know who he is. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That he was there from the beginning. In Psalm 90 and verse 2, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. In Daniel 7:22, he's called the Ancient of Days. In Isaiah 9:6, he's called the Everlasting Father, that Jesus has always been around. And so when Paul saw a glimpse of Christ, of the babe lying in the manger, he said in the fullness of time, God sent his eternal son to come into the world and to offer salvation. And Paul said, this great salvation, God thought it. Christ brought it, the Holy Spirit taught it, the dying thief caught it, Satan fought it, and praise God, I got it. Paul said, I got it. He said, I got it. He said, I got the gift of giving, that I got it. You know, the light, you know, once I was blind, but now I see. The light bulb went on, and I know who the Messiah is. Has the light bulb gone on for you? The gift of getting. Not only did he get a vision of the child, but he also got a visit from the Christ. Look at Acts chapter 9. Not only did he get a vision of the child, but he got a visit from the Christ. Acts chapter 9. We're talking about this seed, this mustard seed that is planted in the heart, and how that this mustard seed grows. Acts chapter 9. and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, verse 1, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he might found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Paul was going to persecute Christians. He was going to chain them and bring them, put them on trial, torture them. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the goads. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He got a vision of the child. And it's not only important that you get a vision from of the child, but you need a visitation from the Christ. You need for Christ to come and touch you. When was the last time that you were touched by Christ? When was the last time Jesus showed up and spoke to you and you did something about it? If we're going to be serious about this gift of discipleship, we have to get a message from the Lord. Well, Pastor Glaze, I didn't get a message from the Lord. I haven't received anything from the Lord. Well, yes, you have. Because he said, his last thing, the last thing before he left this earth, he said to you, go into all the world and make disciples. You don't have a message? That's the message. That's the message right there. That the message is that the kingdom of God starts out like a mustard seed in your heart. That it grows you into a mature believer, and that you go and you invest in the lives of other people, and they go out, and the kingdom of God is here on this earth. And so this tiny mustard seed, oh man, it blessed my heart yesterday to come over here and see groups of Bethany people. A lot of young people. I saw two groups out in this community taking the good news, letting people know about a somebody who can save everybody who's anybody. Thank God that these prayer requests that came in today, people are praying for the saints or the people in this community, the people who are out on the street that have a need, that there's people who are out there praying. Because they realize that God has given them a mandate. And that mandate is to go into all the world and make disciples. So you got to get. The first step of this discipleship is the gift of getting. And then secondly, let me move on today, is what I call the gift of growing. Is that you got to grow. You got the seed, you got the mustard seed, and unless the seed falls to the ground and is buried, that it can't grow. So you've got this mustard seed, and as you've got it, now you've got to begin to grow in your heart. It's a sad testimony of a Christian who is no further along in their Christian experience than they were a year ago at this time. I remember I preached in a church when I first started preaching in Virginia. It was way out in the country. And I remember I went, and my wife was there.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the gifts of discipleship. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Gifts of Discipleship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gifts of Discipleship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Gifts of Discipleship. Or call us at 877 877- 831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.